Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is taken from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 17, with an emphasis on these words. When Jesus saw the lepers, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed, and then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings, these are a few of my favorite things. Well, not my favorite things, at least not personally. I'm actually allergic to cats, and if I'm being honest, I find woolen mittens to be a little itchy. But when Oscar Hammerstein and Richard Rodgers composed this well-known song for The Sound of Music, their message was quite simple. Give thanks for the little things. Those little details, the nitty-gritty of your day-to-day life that just brings a smile to your face. I dare say that this evening, as well as tomorrow throughout the day, many of you are going to take time out along with your families and friends to pause and mark the various little and big ways in which you have been blessed. And of course, as Christians, when you recognize how blessed you are, it is to God that you are rightly giving your thanks, for it is Him who so abundantly blesses you. After all, that's why we're here tonight. Many of us could be getting a head start, getting the turkey in the oven bright and early, or maybe even getting online to see what kind of early Black Friday deals are already available. But here we are. Thanksgiving Eve makes for a unique celebration in the church year, for it's a holiday which, as you well know, isn't exactly found anywhere in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus and his disciples, as far as I know, have no record of gathering around a turkey or mashed potatoes. And yet, as followers of Christ, we recognize that it is for his sake that we are given every good and perfect gift. Everything from our Father in heaven is for the sake of Christ, and so we take the opportunity this evening to gather in his name and to celebrate the joy that is ours in Christ. For many of us, Thanksgiving serves as a kind of kickoff to the Advent and Christmas seasons. Some of you may be digging out your Christmas decorations this weekend, or maybe you even already have your radio set to the holiday mix stations. It's around this time of year that you'll hear the song that I mentioned and many others like it. They're blasted constantly on the radio and throughout shopping centers all over the country to remind us that this is a joyous season. But for many people, it's not. If you watch the news or you read the periodicals, then I probably don't need to tell you that reported instances of loneliness, anxiety, depression, and even suicide have a tendency to spike during the months of November and December. Though indeed, there is certainly much to celebrate at this time, there are many among us for whom this holiday season serves as a reminder of loss and sadness rather than joy or thanksgiving. While we count our blessings, there are many others around us who are praying for relief from their suffering. It is truly a great mystery, then, that the Christian church is the one place on earth where both kinds of people come together in common purpose. For the one who comes to this house giving thanks, give thanks to Christ. And the one who comes to this house seeking reprieve, seeks reprieve in Christ. For it is Christ who is the fountain and source of all blessing. And for tonight, this is illustrated to us, as it is every Thanksgiving Eve, by the story of the 10 lepers who were healed. Now, in our gospel reading, you just heard all of the familiar plot beats. 10 lepers outside of the town cry out for healing to Jesus, and of course, he quickly obliges. After they go their way, it is only one of them, a Samaritan no less, who pauses, realizing that he's healed, and comes back to give thanks and praise to Jesus. Now, it's very easy to take this story and preach it as simply a moral object lesson. It's easy to look out and say, you had best be like the Samaritan and not like the other nine lepers. You better mind your P's and Q's. Don't forget your manners and make sure in all circumstances you remember to say thank you. Now, friends, this is not a bad lesson, but it is certainly not the gospel of this evening's text. For there is no salvation in minding your manners. There's no relief from suffering or from sin when we remember to do the work that God has set us to do. The Christian faith is not about etiquette or decorum or good works. It is about receiving life in the name of Christ Jesus. That is ultimately what separated the Samaritan lepers from his nine commiserators. When he returned to Jesus, in fact, he was actually doing the opposite of what Jesus had commanded him to do. For Jesus' charge to the lepers was to go and show yourselves to the priests in the temple. Jesus' command was meant to be a blessing for them, that they were to demonstrate before the priests in the temple that they were no longer unclean and were now fit to rejoin society. In first century Jerusalem, you could be as healthy as a horse, but you were not clean until the priest declared you clean. But for the Samaritan, chiefly among the ten lepers, this posed kind of an interesting conundrum. For you see, because he was a Samaritan, there was no priest in Jerusalem who would have given him the time of day. Even if he were to go to the temple, even if he were to fall on his knees and demonstrate how clean he was, have his healing acknowledged, he would have then been politely, or maybe not so politely, shown the door. This man's priest was not in the temple. The only priest who would interact with such a man was the great high priest himself. And so that's where the man went. Turning right around, he found Jesus and fell down at his feet, giving thanks. And it was then that the high priest himself declared this man clean. He said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now bear in mind, this man was already cured. The text clearly says that when he saw that he was healed, it was then that he turned around to give thanks. But yet Jesus here in this verse is not being redundant. These words were not a physical healing. These words were an absolution to a man who had nowhere else to go for forgiveness. His sacrifice was unwelcomed by the priests. His tithe was unwanted at the temple. Any earthly solace or relief of his illness of his soul would have been only temporal and fleeting. And so it is with all of us who come to Jesus seeking solace. Our healing will not be found out there. It will be found here with our high priest. The holiday music, the Black Friday deals, the pretty decorations, even the tables full of food and friends and family, these things are all nice, but they're like Band-Aids. They can cover the hurt of our sin, but they can't make it go away. Yet so often, like the other nine lepers from the gospel, we tend to cling to these earthly, temporary gifts. We run off without ever acknowledging the one who gave us those gifts, and when we do this, friends, we do more than simply forget our manners. It's as though we are denying ourselves the lasting comfort of God's gifts to us through his Son, Jesus. We stop short. We unwittingly ignore the reason for which we give thanks, and as a result, we never know the solace of his visitation to us. The temporal things which we are so thankful for, those things will all pass away. Each one of those lepers for whom Jesus healed, they eventually grew sick again. They would get old and their bodies would fail them. They would eventually die. Their good health, you see, came and went like the blowing of the wind. Despite its miraculous nature and their great celebration, their physical health would not last. But to the Samaritan leper, something far more permanent was given. The forgiveness that was his from Jesus, that blessing would last unto eternity. For us who are here to give thanks and for us who are here to receive mercy, Christ offers to us too that same lasting blessing. Here he offers us his absolution. Here he sanctifies us by his Holy Spirit. Here he gives us healing for our souls in his almighty name. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whether this is a joyous season or a not so joyous season, give thanks. The dog may bite, the bee may sting, but when we receive the gifts of our Lord and Savior, his promises bring us lasting peace. Now, don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean that suddenly everything will be hunky-dory and we'll be filled with that holiday spirit that we hear so much about. In fact, sometimes it might look quite the opposite. Sometimes it may be a rude awakening. Instead, you see, we're given his Holy Spirit. And this Spirit, through his work of sanctification, comforts us with the good news of our salvation. It is the same Spirit who gives us strength, not to find the holiday spirit, but to carry our cross and to follow our Savior. And so it is that we come to this temple, not just this building, but where Christ Jesus is. We come to the whole Christian church of all times and all places where our high priest beckons to us to come and partake of his everlasting mercy. Rise and go your way. Your faith in him has made you well. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.